Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to Zach's Traders Cafe. Today I'm joined by Ben Turney, who's CEO at Covango. How are you today, Ben?
I'm great, thanks, Zach. How are you?
Well, very well. We haven't spoken for years, which may be deliberate on both our parts, but it's good to see some progress at Covango in a different direction as well.
Yeah, it's good to speak to you. It has been a long time. Yeah, so we've recently entered into Zimbabwe. We've taken on some gold exploration projects here, which is a departure from our base metals exploration in Botswana. And I'm actually in Zim at the moment, getting our operations off the ground, and it's all looking pretty exciting.
And so, how much of a difference and how much of a departure is this to, you know, the overall Covango experience?
I think for a lot of our long-term holders, it's a very big departure. We've been in Botswana for the last 10 years, and the company actually floated in 2018. And we've been pursuing base metals exploration with some very large-scale projects in Bots. We have about 14,000 square kilometers of ground in very, very challenging exploration terrain. So we're working with projects that are buried underneath the Kalahari Desert. So we've been known in the past for our attempts at looking for base metal deposits using a geophysics-led strategy. That's been very expensive and technically is very demanding. And of course, the drilling itself has been very expensive because we've been looking for much, much deeper targets. In Zimbabwe, the situation is completely the opposite, Zach. We've got a number of options on gold exploration projects, which have got quite a lot of potential amongst them. And we've got targets that are effectively already being mined from surface by artisanal miners. So it's a very, very different exploration model. It's also a very different jurisdiction. Where Botswana has a lot of reputation for being a very stable jurisdiction, a very business-friendly environment, Zimbabwe is a lot more challenging. So we've swapped the geological risk for jurisdictional risk. But so far, we're making good progress on the ground, and I'm looking forward to providing updates in the coming weeks.
I suppose all exploration companies, it's all about scaling up your resources and your assets, but obviously trying to tie that in with the funding requirements. How do you spin those two different plates?
So we are now in the final stages of completing our financing with Pure Bond Limited. Pure Bond is the face of the Consagra family. We announced back in May that the Consagras were putting £6 million into Covango, £4.6 million of which required a whitewash and a prospectus. So we've been a bit caught up with that over the last few months. It's a fairly bureaucratic process to go through to tick all the boxes as far as the regulators are concerned to make sure the financing can go ahead. But we've just called the general meeting on at the end of last week. So that will happen in a couple of weeks' time. That's to approve the whitewash, which is the first step. Immediately after that, assuming shareholders vote in favour, we will then issue the prospectus, and we're looking to complete the financing on or around about the 25th of October. Now, one of the great things about that financing is that we agreed the price back in May at a penny a share. So even though our share price has now fallen down to about 0.7 following our disappointing drill result in the Kalahari Suture Zone in Botswana, we're still pushing ahead at the agreed price. The Consagras have been extremely supportive of our business and the management team, so they didn't make any attempt to try and renegotiate the terms, as a lot of other financiers might have. They recognise the value in the business and what we're trying to achieve. But to answer your question about how we then marry our financing up with the exploration requirements, one of the great advantages of working in Zimbabwe, because we're dealing with targets that are much closer to surface, exploration here is much less expensive. So just to give you a comparison, we drilled one hole into the Kalahari Suture Zone in May when we were pursuing the B1 conductor. That hole went down to just over 600 meters depth and cost the company around about between $350,000 to $400,000. Well, I've just got the finalized budget for our first campaign in our hillside project in And for slightly less money, we're going to end up drilling into four targets, about 1,700 meters worth of drilling. So you get far more bang for your buck in Zim from an exploration perspective, which is a great advantage of working here.
But do you think with your, we call it a sugar daddy, maybe that may not be the exactly the right word, but sugar daddy funding, and with the cheaper cost of operating in Zimbabwe, it's a better mix for shareholders than maybe previously.
I believe so. So where we were pursuing or still are pursuing greenfields targets in Botswana, as I said, buried underneath Kalahari sands and then the Karoo sediments. This is extremely, demanding, technically challenging, and very expensive exploration. In Zim, we're pursuing not quite the same size of targets. The project sizes are smaller, but for each of the two primary projects that we're pursuing in Zimbabwe, projects that we're pursuing in Zimbabwe at the moment, at Hillside and at Nara, those both have 500,000 ounce potential for gold discoveries. That's what we're looking for. And better than that, Zach, is that even if we are able to make the grade and identify enough resource, one of the big differences with our strategy in Zimbabwe compared to Botswana is where in Botswana, if we were to make a discovery, we would look to sell that discovery to a major. That market doesn't really exist for projects in Zimbabwe at the moment. So our plans here are very much geared towards making discoveries and then bringing those discoveries into production. So one of the things I've seen over the years, as you have as well, a company might make a discovery and they'll talk about their JORC resource and that they need $60 million in financing, and then the project just simply falls over and goes nowhere. If we are able to make a, let's just say, a 500,000 ounce discovery at one or even hopefully both of our projects, our plan is very, very much predicated on bringing those into production. So this is where the support of the Kansagras is vital for our business. Having not only the level of support they've already put in, if we are able to demonstrate success, I believe that they will also follow their money, having gone through this process of taking on a 52% ownership stake in the company. So we are now in a very, very strong position, and it's up to our team to deliver. So it's exciting times ahead for us.
So, Ben, in your last answer, you've actually answered most of the questions I wanted to ask you. But the conclusion is that you'll be one of the few small cap and hopefully larger cap companies on the London market, which is actually producing in the exploration area.
Well, not only is that, Zach, but we've got a very ambitious business model here. If we do make discoveries in our projects, as I've said, our goal is then to bring those into production. But there's so much opportunity in Matabistone belts that basically haven't been explored for over 20 years. We see a huge amount of potential for expansion. So while bringing our existing projects into revenue is extremely important to us, if they don't make the grade, we will simply drop them and move on to other projects. If they do make the grade, we'll look to try and bring those into production while then adding more projects into our portfolio. You've got to remember that our primary skills as a business, we are an exploration company. The kind of mining that we would look to engage in should be relatively straightforward, and we've already made contacts with, people who we believe will be able to help us expand the business. But we would also be looking to continue adding ounces. Ultimately, Zach, I'd love us to build a mid-tier gold producer in this country. We see that opportunity right in front of us. There isn't anyone else quite pursuing the opportunity in public markets as we are, and we're very, very keen to build on what we hope and expect is a something of a first mover advantage.
Ben Tierney, CEO of Kabango, thank you very much indeed.
Thanks for having me, Zach.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.